Welcome to Score Business Points, the program that provides information to help small businesses get started, prosper, and grow. A certified mentor with New Jersey's Southeast Chapter of Score, here's your host, Michael Pappas. Welcome to another edition of Score Business Points. As the announcer said, I am your host, Michael Pappas. The number of women starting businesses is increasing every year and now exceeds male-led businesses. Yet, they still do not have the same access to capital. In fact, around 40% of women-owned business owners applying for funding will not obtain it, hindering their ability to grow and scale. In 2021, female entrepreneurs received only 2.3% of total venture capital invested across all industries. Fortunately, there is free money available for women-owned small businesses. Small business grants are funding for businesses that don't have to be repaid. To obtain these grants, an application must be submitted by a business or organization that meets the criteria. Last week, I had as a guest one of the finalists of the SCORE New Jersey Pitch Contest. Just in case you have forgotten what was entailed in the contest, here is a short recap. Back in April, SCORE New Jersey ran a contest for women-owned small businesses. It was funded by the Lester, Muriel, and Edie Frazier Women Entrepreneur Fund for SCORE New Jersey. The two winners of the contest would receive a $4,000 grant for their business. Each business would submit an application telling the name of the business, their product and or services offered, length of time in business, a description of the market need and how they identified the need, their typical customer, the uniqueness of their product and or service, how their product and or service is different from the competition, an estimate of the revenues for the next 2 years, and finally, if they won, how they would use the grant. The entries were reviewed by a panel of SCORE mentors, and 10 finalists were selected. Those finalists then had an opportunity to make a pitch of their business to a panel of SCORE mentors. If they wished, the finalists would be paired with a SCORE mentor to help them prepare their pitch. During the week beginning May 15th, the finalists made their virtual pitch presentation to the panel. The panel then chose the two winners. As an added perk, each finalist was given the opportunity to be a guest on SCORE Business Points to talk about their participation in the contest and about their business. This week, my guest is one of the winners of a $4,000 grant, Maria Stewart, owner of the Gorgeous Goat Creamery. Welcome to SCORE Business Points, Maria.
Thank you, Mike.
Let's get started. First, tell the listeners about yourself, your business background, and your business.
Sure. So I'm a New Jersey transplant, born and raised in the Midwest, lived elsewhere in the United States before arriving in New Jersey in 2016. But I did grow up on a commercial vegetable farm outside the Minneapolis area. So I had an agricultural upbringing with some exposure to livestock, but vegetables and livestock are fairly different, as you can imagine. As many people do, once they, you know, leave the house and go off to college, they don't want anything to do with their upbringing. So agriculture was an afterthought for many, many years. But as I got through, you know, some schooling and had some professional endeavors of my own, somehow agriculture drew me back. And in 2017, we bought a property in Western Hunterdon County. It's a nice little forested property, about 17 acres. And by 2018, we had 4 goats on the property, just 4. And that snowballed into starting a commercial dairy operation, which was founded in 2020 as Gorgeous Goat Creamery. We're a small goat dairy farm that raises a herd of dairy goats, and we milk twice a day. And then our dairy products, goat milk, goat cheese, goat's milk yogurt, are available seasonally for sale at farmers markets and other retail outlets, mostly in the Western New Jersey area. So I made it back to agriculture in a little bit of a roundabout way, but we're enjoying our thriving business right now.
That's good. Well, let me ask you a question. What made you choose goats over any of the other potential farm animals?
So goats came to mind as we were starting to look at our property we just bought. 17 acres, most of it forested, full of invasive plants like multiflora rose and barberry. Both of those plants have terrible thorns, and it's really hard to remove them unless you're using chemicals or power tools. So for one summer, I used the chemicals and the power tools. They were effective, but it was a lot of hard work, and I started to become a little bit leery of the environmental impacts, especially of the chemicals. One of the alternatives to using those chemicals or power tools was to find goats that could eat those invasive plants. Mm-hmm. There were services that rented goats. And when I got the quote, I said, oh my goodness, I think I could just buy some goats. We got plenty of land. We're in Western Hunterdon County. It's rural. So that's where we started with our herd of four goats just for brush clearing. And we decided to get one goat that was offering milk. So it was in the kitchen making cheese just for fun, for our own, you know, enjoyment. But, you know, people got to saying, wow, that cheese is awfully tasty. Do you sell it? And okay. Selling dairy products in New Jersey is quite tricky because it's a highly regulated industry. But that was the beginning of what became Gorgeous Goat Creamery.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you were one of the 10, well, you are the one of the winners of and one of the 10 finalists of the New Jersey Score New Jersey Pitch Contest. Well, tell us how you heard about Score and the contest.
So as we were starting to develop our creamery business plan, I decided I needed to learn a little bit more about just business in general. My educational background is in the sciences. So I can manage a lot of the technical sides of dairy production, but the business aspects were a little bit of a mystery. So I looked up SCORE as an organization that could provide some mentoring and direction when it comes to business establishment and, you know, things like business plan writing, financial statements, et cetera. And I actually began working with a SCORE mentor in 2019 and continued with SCORE mentors as we got into 2022, 2023. My mentor, Pat Francino, and Frank Sangoda were two that had helped me quite a bit recently with our revisions to the business plan after our creamery was up and running. And, you know, Pat had said, hey, there's a contest available. I think you'd be a great candidate. So it was actually a referral from my SCORE mentor to participate in the contest, and I'm sure glad that I did.
Okay. And did you use your SCORE mentor? Because the pitch contest allowed you to use your SCORE mentors. Did you use him or both of them?
Yes, indeed. Yep. I was assigned a second SCORE mentor. Frank was more mentoring me for financial aspects of the business. So I actually worked with two SCORE mentors in preparing the pitch for the contest. And they provided really great feedback. You know, Pat and I had been working together for a number of months, so she was very familiar with my business. But the other mentor I was assigned was so helpful because he was new in terms of learning about my business and learning about my background. And that perspective was very helpful in, you know, being able to tailor my pitch presentation for the contest.
Well, why don't you give... You just said Pat. I'm not sure you mentioned his last name, but why don't you give both of your SCORE mentors a shout out? Tell us people their names and you know, that you're happy to be with them.
So when I was working on the pitch contest development, my primary mentor was Pat Francino. And then I also worked with Sitharam Devrita, and he was a new mentor that provided me a lot of great feedback because he was less familiar with my business and the project that I was.
You've been in business now a little over 5 years, if I'm not mistaken, but only about 2.5 are with the dairy products. Am I correct?
Yep, okay. That's right.
What plans do you have for the future of your business, both the dairy and now I understand you do firewood and you do soap. So what are your plans for the future?
Sure. So our dairy opened in 2020. And if you remember back to spring 2020, the world was pretty well tipped on its head due to the COVID pandemic. We had not anticipated that at all when we were planning our dairy launch. So as a result, we've grown very slowly on the dairy side to be careful just of, you know, what is the world looking like in 2021, 2022. And, you know, here we are in 2023 and very glad that we're getting back to more normal ways of living and shopping. So our dairy growth had been fairly slow the first 3 years. Now we're looking at expanding our herd of goats and being able to offer more cheese and milk to the community through more farmers market sales, as well as some additional wholesale accounts. So our growth was fairly slow the first couple of years because we were concerned about what might happen with the aftermath of the COVID pandemic. But we feel very confident now that we found our niche and are establishing a very reliable customer base. Okay. With regards to the other products, the soap and the firewood, our soap sales have increased tremendously. And just this year, we started launching seasonal collections of soap scents. So we offered a spring collection, a summer collection, and we're looking forward to offering a fall collection of limited release scents. And this is really driven demand from our customers. So it's one of those situations where it's here and then it's gone and it won't be back again until next year. And that's proving to be a very effective tool for promoting some of our products. Mm-hmm. On the firewood side, not only do we cut firewood, but we also have a sawmill where we can do custom milling. And we like to expand our offerings for slab wood that could be used for decorative purposes or for furniture building. And so that's another area that we have all the infrastructure set up. We just need to work on marketing that and getting it out to sales.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's go back to the beginning. How did you get the funding to start this business?
So this was a business born out of a lot of savings on our personal side, as well as some family members that loaned us money to get started. So we didn't end up needing to go to a lender to finance the purchase of the equipment we needed for dairy processing. But we did need some external help from other friends and family to start up the dairy. And fortunately, we've been able to pay them back and now are actually running a profitable business.
Let's talk a little bit more about the business now. You sell your products at farmers markets. Plus, I see that some of your products are in a few stores and also in a local restaurant and a cider tasting station. So first, how do you let your target market know about your business and what you offer? And then second, how were you able to get your dairy products into the local restaurants and into the cider tasting room?
Our interest has really grown by word of mouth. We haven't embarked on significant advertising and marketing campaigns just because we've been small. And, you know, what's happened is, you know, people have tried our product. Maybe they've personally shopped for our product at a farmer's market and then told a friend or, you know, family member who runs a restaurant or has a retail shop. And, you know, that's fortunately been one extremely effective way of getting, you know, our products into different locations, the word of mouth aspect. So, for example, the Ironbound Cider House up in Bloomsbury, New Jersey. We stumbled upon them almost by accident. They were also a vendor at a farmer's market back in 2021 and said, hey, would you be interested in selling your cheese at our farm market and having it on our restaurant menu? And of course, I said, well, let's have a conversation. So that's, you know, some of it has been happy accidents. And I think one of the aspects has been, you know, unique is that our quantities are limited in the dairy scene. You can only make so much milk based on how many animals you're milking. So even if I have, you know, clients, potential wholesale accounts that would like to carry my products right now, as we're in the summer of 2023, I might not be able to fulfill their desires because my goats are only making so much milk and I can put them on the waiting list for 2024. Mm-hmm. So this scarcity aspect has created a little bit of buzz. And it's part of the nature of a dairy, you know, farm that you just can't magically make more milk. But it's also, I think, creating a premium aspect of our brand and product that we hadn't really anticipated.
You're getting some of your leads, like when you said, from the farmer's market. How is selling in the farmer's market working out for you? Is that your main source of income?
Right now, that is our main sales channel for all of our products. It is fairly labor intensive, given that we have to have a person there to staff the tent with the table and coolers full of dairy products, and coolers full of milk are heavy. And also, markets are open rain or shine, so I might be sweating with 95 degree heat coming up on Saturday, whereas, you know, in November, I'm shivering as the sleet is flying sideways. So there's some disadvantages to being in that kind of environment, but there's a community connection that happens at the farmer's market where you have that personal conversation with your customer. And although, you know, my husband and I both work farmer's markets, we also have part-time staff that work farmer's markets. So having somebody on staff who can be a brand ambassador for us has been very important to be able to represent the farm and the products and have those conversations where the customer feels like they have a connection to where their food comes from. Our original business model was actually to sell primarily wholesale to restaurants and retail outlets. But in 2020, that was not a tenable business model.
Right.
So we ended up pursuing the farmers markets in earnest. And that has continued even now, you know, though restaurants and retail locations are eager to have our product, we're still seeing, you know, high profitability, even being at the farmers markets with the extra costs of staff and the fees for being there.
Let me ask you the question then, are you going to spread out and try to get into the restaurant business, into the restaurants more versus selling at the farmers market? And do you have, aspirations of creating a brick and mortar somewhere around your farm or nearby?
So to your first question, you know, we do want to grow our wholesale accounts a little bit for the upcoming year. So 2024, we'd like to see that grow a little bit more. One of the nice things about wholesale accounts is they tend to be fairly reliable. Right now, we have two restaurants that place standing orders with us each week, so I can guarantee that I have so many pounds of goat cheese already sold at the beginning of the week because I know they're you know expecting that delivered on Friday. We also want to expand our farmers market geography. Right now, we're selling in Somerset County, Hunterdon County, and Mercer County. And we'd like to expand into Pennsylvania as well as perhaps even further points east towards New York City. Mm-hmm. In terms of our brick and mortar initiatives, this is actually the subject of the pitch that I submitted to the contest. So for the pitch, the funds that we requested were to build an on-farm store and be able to host on-farm sales more effectively. Our previous method of doing that was setting up essentially a farmer's market stand with the tents and the table and the coolers, which is fine at the farmer's market because you have to be there temporarily 4 hours a week. Mm-hmm. But for on-farm sales, we have folks that drive in, you know, pretty well 7 days a week looking for goat cheese or dairy products. And I'm not going to have a tent set up, you know, out in my driveway 7 days a week. So as a benefit of the pitch contest and being one of the grant recipients, we do have a farm store that is in the progress of getting all the utilities and bells and whistles installed. So we'll have a refrigerator and a nice little shopping space for visitors who are at the farm, either for an event or just who might be dropping in because they found us on Google or saw the signs at the end of the driveway.
All right. I think I may have asked you this question and I apologize, but How do you get besides word of mouth? Do you do any sort of advertising whatsoever, other than maybe a website or some?
Sure. Yeah, we had advertised with Edible Jersey, and that's a fantastic publication that we do value very much. We were able to advertise with them for a few years due to a grant we received from the United States Department of Agriculture to support marketing and advertising for small farms and businesses. Unfortunately, that grant money ran out, so we're no longer an advertiser, but we hope to return at some point in the future. One of the other ways that we've gained a lot of attention is through social media. So we have accounts on Instagram and Facebook and LinkedIn, and so folks can see what's happening at the farm through our social media posts, whether it's just photographs or a reel with, you know, video and audio pasted over it. And that has gained, you know, I think some attention from certain viewers. We've also been picked up by a few media outlets and shared in directories of different activities for families or, you know, fun things to do in the fall. Some of our agritourism activities attract folks from as far away as New York City and Philadelphia because they're looking for a reason to get out of the city and do something a little bit different.
Uh-huh. I see. Well, I see you do tours of your farm with the goats as the main attraction. So how's that been working out?
That has become more popular than we can imagine. We're a small business. We're essentially a two-person operation with some part-time staff. And I've been able to, you know, bring as many visitors as we physically can on the property at times. Our farm tours consist of meeting our herds of goats and seeing how we milk the goats and make cheese in a very small agricultural setting. So not nearly as big as, you know, the large scale producers that might be stocking your supermarket refrigerators. But this gives folks a taste of what it's like to have, you know, a dairy farm where you're milking goats twice a day, every day during the milking season and making cheese or bottling milk. And that happens typically 5 or 6 days a week this time of year. So definitely more than a full-time job. We also hike with the goats in the fall, which is an upcoming event where folks get to stroll through the forest with a herd of 7 or 8 goats along their side. It was a great family activity, but also for folks who are just looking for a little bit different outdoors activity.
You mentioned something, you have part-time employees. How is that working out? How are they doing for you?
So we've been very lucky to have reliable staff when we can find them. Hiring has been a big challenge to find the right person. But for the past couple of years, we've had part-time staff that either work farmers markets or will help out around the farm, you know, doing barn chores, feeding the goats. That's been really, really important for us to grow as a business. Because, you know, a dairy farm and being vertically integrated from, you know, goat to bottled milk is a lot of work. And being able to delegate certain tasks that are, you know, routine, like moving hay bales or filling water buckets is really helpful, because that can enable, you know, myself or my husband, Matt, who also works on the farm, to spend more time doing things that require higher skill or, you know, more cerebral activities.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your time and efforts for coming to us. Is there anything else you'd like the listeners to know?
I'd like the listeners to know that SCORE has been a really, really valuable component of our business establishment and business growth. And the offerings from SCORE, whether it's a webinar or some of their on-demand learnings or the one-on-one mentorship, without those, we would not be where we're at today with our small business. And so I'm truly grateful for my mentors and SCORE as an organization as a whole.
Well, thank you for the pitch. All right. Well, I thank you again.
All right.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate
it.
Small businesses have a huge effect on the American economy. As more and more women join the ranks of small business owners, that effect is only going to grow. In fact, women-owned firms have grown at 1.5 times the rate of other small enterprises over the past 15 years. They now account for nearly 30% of all businesses. Entrepreneurial women are highly determined, wildly passionate, and have the enthusiasm and strength to persevere under any circumstances. Ever wonder who was the first woman in America to own a business? Well, it was Eliza Lucas Pinkay, who took control of her father's South Carolina plantation way back in 1739. She was only 16 years old. Back in 1739, women didn't have the opportunities they have today. The challenges to women-owned businesses today haven't changed dramatically despite lots of noise about equal pay, non-discrimination, help with childcare, and other popular agendas. Thinking about it, there continues to be a subtle societal prejudice against women entrepreneurs, which likely will only change as more women-owned businesses succeed. But why complain? Madam C.J. Walker, the first African-American female millionaire from her homemade Caroline, said, "I had to make my own living and my own opportunity, but I made it. Don't sit down and wait for opportunities to come. Get up and make them." If you think about it, millions of other women entrepreneurs have succeeded, and you can too. If you would like more information about this show, or for that matter, any past SCORE Business Point show, you may email me at sbp@wbnj.org. That's sbp@wbnj.org. If there's any topic you'd like to hear discussed on SCORE Business Points, or if you have a comment about this show, or any past show, you may email me at the same address, sbp@wbnj.org. Are you a small business owner who has overcome a business problem? Maybe you would like to let the listeners know how you did it. If so, send me an email at sbp@wbnj.org. Again, that's sbp@wbnj.org. Or maybe you're a subject matter expert and would like to pass along your knowledge to the listeners. I can be reached at the same email address, sbp@wbnj.org. Again, sbp@wbnj.org. As you may be aware, SCORE provides free business mentoring and education to the small business owner or potential small business owner. The education takes the form of webinars or in-person seminars. The Southeast chapter of SCORE holds these webinars and in-person seminars throughout the year at various locations in Ocean, Atlantic, and Cape May counties. To learn more about what webinars and in-person seminars are being held, go to score.org/southeastnj. That's score.org/southeastnj and click on local workshops in the top navigation. Once there, you can click on any one of the webinars or in-person seminars listed to learn more about it and how to register. That's all the time I have for today. I would again like to thank Maria Stewart for taking the time out of her busy day to be with us on Score Business Points. Tune in next week for more Score Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas, saying so long until then.
For those who may not be familiar with SCORE, SCORE is a nonprofit association dedicated to helping small businesses get off the ground, grow, and achieve their goals through education and mentorship. They've been doing this for over 50 years because their work is supported by the U.S. Small Business Administration, the SBA. And thanks to a network of 11,000-plus volunteers, they're able to deliver their services at no charge or very low cost. For more information on how you and your business can benefit from a mentorship from SCORE, you can visit score.org/SoutheastNJ. That's score.org/SoutheastNJ. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can catch an instant replay at WBNJ.org. SCORE Business Points is a production of the New Jersey Southeast chapter of SCORE and 91.9 WBNJ.